Stand to our feet, give me praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. Amen, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Indeed, Lord, we sing praises to your name. You who have redeemed us, brought us to yourself, Lord. None of us are worthy, but you are the worthy one, O God, in our midst tonight. And truly, Lord, we sing praises to you. May our lives sing praises to you. May our lives glorify you, Lord. May you glorify yourself, Lord, through your people. Tonight, Lord, and not just tonight, Lord, but all the day, every day through, Father. More and more, bringing more glory to you. For that is our desire. That is where we're happiest. That is where our heart rejoices. When we see you lifted up and glorified, O God, in us, in our midst, and among all of us, Father. For truly, Lord, you are worthy of our praise, worthy of every breath, Lord, that you've given us to be brought back to you in all glory and honor. So help us tonight, Father. Just move me out of the way, Lord. Pray that you speak through this unworthy vessel. You have knowledge of the needs of your people, not only here in the presence, but online and wherever, Father. Just speak that which we have need of tonight, Lord. Our eyes are on thee. We ask this in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. It's middle of the week. It's right before July 4th. Where is this year gone? Unbelievable. Do you know July 4th will be in our rearview mirror before we know it? Wow. Amen. Lord, teach us to number our days, right? That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Praise God. If you'll join me, open up your Bibles, please. To Genesis chapter 1. Thank you, musicians. So appreciate your ministry to us. Praise God. It's a real blessing. Amen. Praise God. Genesis 1, 3, and 4. Again, these are all very familiar verses to us. And God says, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Let's turn to John 12, 46. John 12, 46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Praise the Lord. And one more, Matthew 6, 22 and 23. 6, 22 and 23. The light of the body is the eye.
If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Amen. Let's just bow our heads one more time. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful for this word. We are so thankful for it, oh God. We just pray that right now you break to us the bread of life. And this we ask in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord bless you all, indeed. And I'd welcome you all online. And Brother Paul, if you're online listening, you've really been very much in our thoughts today. It's been a very incredible day. The devil fighting every step of the way. I thought, well, this is good. Amen. This is all testing time. So I pray the Lord has got something for us tonight. Amen. As hard as the devil's been fighting. He's a slew foot. He's a bluff. There's nothing to him. I don't care what he does. He's already defeated. Praise the Lord. And what I want to talk on tonight is dwelling in the light or abiding in the light. The same thought, same concept. And we know that there's an adversary. It's always God versus the devil, right? God versus Satan. And in every way that you set it up, there is God's way of doing it, right? And then the devil has got a counterfeit. And then it's the devil's way of doing it. Amen? And as you get yourself honed in Christ, it is amazing. You begin to recognize more and more what is the devil, amen, and what is God. A lot of times when I first came into the message and Brother Brandon would make statements, and I'll be honest with you, it just went right over my head. I had no idea the things that he was bringing out. And then as time went on, I realized, wow, the things that we is hitting on, he was honing with precision. With precision. Exactly what is God's word, amen? And what the devil uses in his tactics to try to undermine the effectiveness of God's word in your life and in my life. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, we know that in the Bible, a lot of times before there is deliverance, there is judgment. Now think about that, right? The flood that destroyed the whole earth, right, came at the time that Noah entered into the ark. One was destruction to the world, and the other one was deliverance to Noah and to his family. When the plague struck Egypt, with deliverance of Israel being led out of Egypt, following closely on its heels, right? Amen? So don't be alarmed right now when you see a bunch of darkness gathering right now. See, this is again staging. I've said this before, but our deliverance is at hand. It's already here. It's in Christ. Amen. But that reality of Christ, the reality of his word, we're just going to step off into it. This world, amen, is going to become dimmer. Its gravitational hold on us is going to become less, and we're just going to step right off into it. Amen. Right off into glory. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So as Satan is pressing himself and all his darkness into this dimension, right? We sense it. We feel it. We witness it. We cannot believe almost the things that are going on right now. There'd be no way that this would fly in any other age, but it has to be that way right now to show you that the devil is the prince of power of this air, of this age. Amen? But as that's going on, as he's pressing himself into this dimension, God is pouring himself into his people. Amen? And we're getting pulled up out of here, out of this dimension, into that dimension where he is. And that where we begin to understand and have a certain understanding, amen, that realization in our minds and our hearts is going to become a perfect realization, amen, as we step into his presence. Praise the Lord. Amen. And God is a separator. We just read that. He separates darkness from light and light from darkness. And at the end of the days, you know, the Bible is very clear. He separates the sheep from the goats. Amen. I won't read it just to save time. You're all very familiar in Matthew chapter 25, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him. When he sits upon the throne of his glory, think about that. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep with his goats. You know the story. Amen. He puts the goats on his left. He puts the sheep on his right. And he says to the sheep, he said, enter into the joys of my Father, because when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was clothed, you gave me clothes, right? When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was sick, you came and you ministered to me. When have we done this, Lord? He says, whatever you have done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? And then he turns to the goats and he says, enter into darkness. Enter, he says, praise the Lord. Thank you. Yes. Amen. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Thank you, Brother Derek. Prepared for the devil and his angels. So the same thing that was built for the devil and his angels, amen, those who walk in darkness is going to get the same punishment. The same thing is going to happen. Amen. And reverse. He says, why? He says, because when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was naked, you didn't give me clothing. When I was a stranger, you didn't comfort me. Amen. You didn't attune yourself. You didn't attend to my needs. When, Lord, did this take place? Insomuch that you didn't do it to the least of these, my brethren. You didn't do it unto me. Now think of how much the Lord holds how we treat one another and those around us. Amen? It is just really an amazing thing. And I say unto them, verily I say, insomuch as you did it not to me, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Amen. Separating light from darkness. Now, it says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I would say the Puritans, I'm going to back up, even before then, the Methodists, they thought even looking out the picture window facing a beautiful vista of a mountain was worldliness, not to be enjoyed. You know, love not the world. See, that isn't what it's talking about right there. The world of what God has made, his own creation, expresses who God is. Amen. Even the great scientists, the ones who were called the foundational fathers, like Newton and so forth, they wanted to learn about the handiwork of God because they knew it declared something about him, and they wanted to know him more. And studying what was made, it would somehow declare him. So all these things you see, the handiwork of God, that isn't what it's talking about, loving not the world. What it's talking about is loving not the world's system. Okay? It's loving not the world's system. Amen. The world system, this is what Satan is doing. That's exactly what he is all in. It's all inspired of the devil. He's the god of this age. He's the prince and power of the air. He is the great organizer. Think about that. The setter-upper. Is that a word? Setter-upper of systems. And gaining the upper hand by outmaneuvering the sons of God. I mean, from the very, very beginning, they both were placed here in this world. And who was up in Adam? Who was organizing? It was Cain's line. You know, that's what they do. And that's how Satan moves. He moves in that organizational mindedness. And that is the one thing that Brother Branham fought against so much. Isn't that amazing? I don't know. To me, I just see how much it is, how that God chose to have his spirit dwelling in us to lead and to guide us. That is how he moves, amen, in his children. He leads and guides them into all truth by his spirit. He takes and he quickens his word down inside of them, confirming every word by his spirit till that word is manifested through them. Amen. And the devil doesn't have anything to say about that but by putting on external pressure, but it won't work. It won't work. You think about, I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's okay. You think about how it is that Brother Branham, when it was voiced over him, that you have chosen the hard way. Amen. And it is the most precise way, it is the correct way, in that in and of itself shall bring the victory of love divine. Why is that? He didn't go by the way of organization. He went by saying, this is God's word. God moves on men, he moves on women by quickening that word to himself. You and God, one man and one God, is a powerhouse, right? Is a majority. Amen? And Satan doesn't have anything that can fight against that. Think about that. God and man is a majority. Think about that. God, Satan has no thing at all that he can fight against that. That's why he says, can you see why I'm against denominations? Because they move with political mindedness, which how can you divine the mind of God in an organization? Even if you set up an organization with the most purest of motives, amen, purest of motives, you have this design in your mind, that organization will outlive that person who started it, and others will rise up in there with less than pure motives, and pretty soon it just goes right off the tracks. So as soon as you organize, you've already broken that mold that God has. That's why he says he doesn't work in groups, amen. He calls individuals to himself as powerhouses to God. Amen? So walking in that light, walking in that oneness that he has, amen, for his children. This is an incredibly exciting thing. I mean, look at this message. Look at it. There is no headquarters to it. Amen? Some people might say that it's Jeffersonville. No, it isn't. It isn't even that. And there are a lot of people that are actually writing and duplicating, amen, and sending the word of God around the world. You can't explain this message and how that it is being spread. God just raises up this one. He raises up that one. They have the burden of the word of the Lord. They come and they just run with it. And it's all over the world and it's in many, many countries. Amen. And it just has its effect. And if you were to sit there and you were to list out how it is, the testimonies of how God it is, how he opened up doors and how he spread the word is absolutely remarkable. Amen. I was listening to some testimony of Brother Perry Green, and just nothing is just, it's just absolutely stellar. Nothing shy of being remarkable. He talked about these MP3 players years ago. He put it on a hard drive, okay? And how that happened was a brother by the name of Chris Coffey. Anybody know Chris Coffey? Amen. He said, you know something, Brother Perry? I'm going to take it and I'm going to put all the message on one device. And he says, oh, sure you are. And one day he was sitting in his office and Brother Chris came in there. And he says, there you go. He put it on his desk. He says, what is that? He says, that's the message. Well, you got a few messages on there, huh? And he, you know, put it on and started playing, right? Well, you got a few messages on there. He says, nope. I got all the messages on there. No. He says, yes, I do. He took those tapes, turned them into MP3 format. Of course, we all know about it now, but back then that was revolutionary, right? And to have it all in one device. And he said, how much did that box cost? He said, $598. And immediately there was a brother sitting over there on that couch. And he was the son of this one very wealthy Chinese businessman, had over 67 ships that cost $118,000 a piece, these container ships. You add that out, many billions of dollars is what he is worth. He sought that, he heard that when Brother Chris set that on Brother Perry Green's desk. He heard that whole transaction. And he said, I want 100 of them. Isn't that incredible? He says, what are you going to do with 100 of them? He says, I'm going to take those things and I'm going to bring them into China, two at a time. I'll put them wherever you want it to go. So they took these MP3 players, right, and brought Brother Branham's message and scattered it out throughout China. Think about that. And God used Brother Chris. Amen. To do that, to bless people over there in China. Do you think Brother Chris had any knowledge of him doing that or that would happen? No. God moves supernaturally on people. Amen. But you should hear Brother Green tell it. He tells it much better. But again, God supernaturally moving on men's hearts, moving on sisters' hearts. Amen. They got something they want to do for the Lord and they run with it. You can't stop that. That is something that is, you can stop an organization, amen, but you can't stop a man filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. You quash that out and another one runs with it. Amen. It's not an organization. It's not directed. It's heavenly directed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So one, God's oneness comes by his Spirit indwelling in his people, quickening every word in them, making them one with him. The devil has a counterfeit. It's a unity that's a forced oneness through political maneuvering through man-made denominations, ultimately to be headed up in the World Council of Churches, which is headed up by the Catholic Church. You know? And I was listening to oneness as I was going for a walk Sunday night. It's a wonderful, that sermon is really rich. If you hadn't heard it in a while, or if you've never heard it, I really recommend listening to that. It's preached in 62. And as I was listening to that and this thinking about these world systems, I recognized how that Satan has totally wormed himself through every possible organization, everything that is out there. And we as parents, we want to see our children, amen, thrive. We want to see them that they're able to make it, you know, to shoot them out into the world and to be, you know, successful, so to speak. Amen. And yet we can see all the pitfalls that the devil has out there. Amen? It's like we're saying, there's giants in the land. The land will eat up our children. And if we're not careful, we can shrink back with fear. But you got to see, we are more than conquerors through Christ. With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. In the same Holy Ghost that led you, parents, and brought you where you are today, somehow by God's grace, somehow you're able to make ends meet. Somehow you have bread on the table. Somehow you've got a roof over your heads. The same way that the Lord had provided and led us is going to be the same one that's going to lead our children and provide for every one of their needs. Amen? Amen. And the thing that I stress to our kids, and they've heard it from me before, what you want is you want to be led by the Lord. You want to be obedient to Him. And it isn't that, you know, which one of you brothers can say, I have my career all mapped out before me ever since I was 18, right? I knew exactly what I was going to do, right, Brother Josh? No, a lot of times what it is the opportunity just opens up. And you step through it. You just have an unction, an inkling, and something's available. It says, well, what other choices do I have? I'm just going to step through. Let's just see what happens. A ship, kids, here's a little clue here, cannot be steered by the rudder unless it's moving. You can't even turn a ship around unless it's moving. Amen? So, praise the Lord. But the direction we want to move in, now listen here, is we want to move to Him, move to the Lord, move in prayer. Wait on the Lord. Amen. Keep your eyes open. Keep praying. God will make a way. He will. And the gifts that He has inside of you, kids, He didn't put them in you to frustrate you with them. And some of you are asking, what gift do I have? I don't know why I'm going down this. Not in my notes at all. But what gift do I have? A lot of times it's because you're not exposed to it yet. My sister had a unique gift. I didn't know this about her at all. But she could go through a file system and she would literally rifle through it, separating things, just as lickety-split like that. And somebody came in behind her and said, there's no way she could do it that fast. But they checked her work and it was exactly right. My sister didn't know she could do that until she was exposed to that situation and found out she could. That's an unusual talent, unusual gift, but and it's just a small little example, okay? But again, this is something that she wouldn't run into unless she had that job. And there's a lot of things, too, you may not find out that you're actually very good at until you're exposed to it. Amen? So just be open. You know, God is leading you. He doesn't frustrate you. Amen? God will nudge you. And as He gives you that nudge, you don't know, just step into it and just see what happens. Amen? Is that all right? Praise the Lord. Amen. And a lot of times, I hope this isn't meddling. You go from ministering to meddling. But, you know, a lot of times, too, we say, well, we want our kids to have the greatest degrees. Okay, we want them to have the highest thing. We want to be doctors and lawyers. We want them to, you know, to absolutely walk the marble halls of the best places on this earth, right? And not realizing the devil is laid out in all of that. Our universities are actually feeders into this world system. They feed these corporations that are absolutely devil-possessed. Amen. And not to say that somebody, if you're led of God to do that God isn't leading you. I'm not saying don't do that because that's bad. What we're saying is to be certain of God. It's the same thing with going into the military, you know. No way would I steer anybody in that direction, okay? But if you feel led, if you're certain of God, I just reminded of that one Russian boy, very much a devoted Christian. He felt led of God to go into the Red Army. There could hardly be a more godless, against God organization than the Red Army. And yet he felt led of God. God told him in his heart to join the army. How many has read the story of Vanya? Anybody out there? Anybody? No? No? Okay. Pick it up sometime, really. It's an amazing testimony of how he went there. And there he was, standing out in the cold. He was forced because to deny his Lord. They had him stand out in the cold in 20 below zero with a summer uniform out there for 12 days in a row. Can you imagine? And while he was going, he was standing out there, God had supernaturally warmed him. And he could stand out there in that utter cold, and his officers are coming out, and they're all dressed in their parkas and their furry stuff there, and they're slapping themselves, you know. And they're looking at Vanya, and they cannot believe how he can stand there, not shivering, not shaking. And the Lord moved. And there's many, many such testimonies of this young man, Vanya, in that when he was finally taken out of his unit, so God had done so many miraculous things that they had to split up that unit because they'd seen too much. Amen? So he felt led of God. And that's what I'm saying. So whatever it is, even though it doesn't make sense, it's not safe. Amen? God doesn't ask the question, is it safe? He asks the question, will you follow me? Will you follow me? Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. There's many, many landmines in this world that are out there, especially for our children. But God is with us. And he'll be glorified in us and in our children. Amen. God will not lose any of his. Even those of us who have maybe started down the wrong path, God is able to take and turn around and get us back on the right path. He won't lose a one. Amen. But nor are we called to cloister ourselves away from the world. Jesus said, then we must needs be taken out of the world. Right? John 17:14 says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Don't be surprised if people hate you. They just don't like the way you look, you know. They don't like the way you carry yourself. You're too clean. They think, oh, you're judging me. Look at you. You're judging me. No, I'm just standing here. You're judging me. No, don't be surprised that the world hates you, right? Even as they hated the Lord. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. See, you're not of this world order. Amen? Sanctify them through thy truth. Amen? Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. God, Christ, has sent us into the world. for a testimony. Praise the Lord. C.T. Studd made this statement. Some want to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. See, we can't be afraid of what's out there. Amen. We've got to be brave in Christ. If the Lord is directing us, the Lord will keep us. Amen. Lord, there's no safer place than in the perfect will of God than anywhere else in the world outside of His will. Did you get that? There's no safer place in the perfect center of God's will than any other place in the world outside of His will. Praise the Lord. So, the world is judged. I'm going to come at a little nuance here. The judgment of God has never fallen on His children. Brother Branham pointed out, the judgment waters flooded the earth, but Noah and his family rose above it. A fire fell on Sodom, but Lot and his family were rescued before the fire fell. Right? And then plague struck Egypt, but it didn't come to Goshen where God's people were. Think about that. It'll not come nigh you. The righteous shall not perish with the ungodly. That is the pattern throughout the Bible. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. So into this world of darkness, brothers and sisters, we are called to be fruitful. We are called to fruitfulness. John 15:4 says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Do you ever think about that? Without me you can do nothing. Without Christ you can do nothing. Totally helpless. "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." So you and I sit in a most blessed place, in a place of fruitfulness. We are called to be fruitful. Amen? That's the only safe place that there is. We either abide in Him and are fruitful, or we don't, and we're unfruitful. That's the only choice. Do you want to be fruitful? Amen? Or unfruitful? If we choose to be unfruitful, which I don't believe you can, I believe you're predestinated unto this fruitfulness. Amen? But you have to be insistent on abiding in Him. You will be fruitful because that is His word. But if we leave, if we don't abide in Him, if we don't abide in His word, if we walk away from this message that has been so vindicated by the word of God, so vindicated by God, amen, we walk away from it. Do you know anybody who has just walked away from it and they went right back into the denominational systems and all of a sudden, They lost all their chasteness. All of a sudden, they start looking like the world. They stepped into spiritual amnesia. They forgot that they were washed. They forgot that they were cleansed. They forgot that they were chosen special from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They become dressed in filthy rags of denomination. And don't remember that they're going to be gathered of men. Sure, every denomination is going to end up in the World Council of Churches. Gathered of men. But Jesus admonishes of another danger. This one here, I think, to me, hits a little closer to home. Mark 4:19. and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust for other things entering in choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. That's the one to me that concerns me the most. We know we have responsibilities. We know we have obligations. We know that a lot of times the Lord will put us out there in the jobs and the positions we are to give us that exposure, to give those exposure to us so that we can testify of the Lord. But if we're not careful, we're going to let those things be the driving elements in our life, more so than that which is driven by the Lord. And we become unfruitful. Amen? Because of the lust of other things come in. And it's not the things of God. They're just not necessarily sinful. It's just things. Amen? And Jesus warns us about that. And our hearts are tried. And sometimes we are given an abundance of choices and we think sometimes we have no choice. But the truth of the matter is we do have a choice. Amen? Just like Brother Branham had a choice. And sometimes the choice is very hard. But once you make the choice, it's very easy. It was a test. I pray sincerely with all of my heart that those choices that the Lord puts before us that are His way is our choice. I pray with all my heart that we choose the harder way. I tell my kids, don't take the easy way. Don't take the easy way. You get sloppy, you get soft. Choose the hard way. Amen. Buck against the current. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. So what do we focus our eyes on? What do we put our hearts on? John 2:17 says, and the world passed away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth ever. He is light and life and peace. Every need that we have is found in him. First of all, he's our salvation. Isn't that wonderful? He has paid the price of sin, everything that we've done. We don't have to go to hell. We don't talk about a fire of brimstone, a lake of fire of brimstone that burns forever and ever. And that's where the lost is going. We don't talk about that so much, but that's the reality. All who chose not Christ, that's exactly where they are heading. The Lord has a remedy. The remedy is Him. And we have the choice to accept or to reject. Amen? And those that reject, that's exactly. They choose not to have His remedy. They get the results of that choice. Amen. But the Lord is faithful. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. If the light of the body is the eye, if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Praise the Lord. He is our righteousness. We stand perfect before our God, without spot or blemish, because of the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ, Him dying on the cross, taking our place. Every sin we've ever committed or will commit, every transgression and offense against God by us, nailed to His cross, perished with Him, and we ourselves perished with Him, so that we could also, we're raised with Him to the glory of God the Father. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? This, I believe, is the operation of God. The answer to the devil's question. Christ, the mystery of God, paragraph 582. How it was that it seemed he, the devil, triumphed over Christ. Think about that. He thought he had him. He took him through weakness, through his political mightedness. Ah, I have him. Took him and had him nailed to the cross. And not only that, but had him buried in a grave. I got him. I win. I win. I win. And then 3 days later, having Jesus rise up from that grave, triumphing over the death, hell, and the grave, having the keys of death, hell, and the grave, the answer to the devil's question. Amen. That is how he redeemed all of us. He thought he had us lock, stock, and barrel. And Jesus says, no, you don't. Amen? No, you don't. And that is good news, guys. Honestly, that is the good news that we shouldn't keep to ourselves. That is what we need to share around us. We need to share what Christ has done. Praise the Lord. Sometimes this becomes very common to us. Praise the Lord. We are identified in him. We have his mind. 1 Corinthians 2:16, the mind of Christ is in us and working to shape and conform us to his image. 2 Corinthians 3:18 and Colossians 3:10. Because of this, Brother Branham said that the bride, who is one with her bridegroom, who is the Word, knows what he wants done with the Word. Amen? And she does it in his name. She has, thus saith the Lord. Then it is germatized. So the Holy Spirit waters it until it is grown and serves its purpose. Paragraphs 358, the spoken word is the original seed. We're given an incredibly rich word. Amen? But to meditate on these things, right? To not just have it to be some kind of intellectual conception, but a reality inside of us. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. In closing, I just want to share a quote with you, if I may. How many have heard Brother Branham ever say, when you live your life for others, you are staring heaven in the face? Anybody hear Brother Branham say that? Anybody? Anybody? Okay. All right. I've looked for that. I've looked for it. Now I've found out where I heard that from. Brother Perry Green. He said it so many times, and I've heard him so many times. And he said, Brother Branham said. And Brother Branham actually did say that. And I'll read the quote to you where he said that. But Brother Perry condensed it down. So I read this, and this is a real blessing to me, and I pray that you find it also a blessing. Praise the Lord. This is in That Day on Calvary, paragraph 85. Now, the first thing I want to say is Jesus never lived for himself. His life was spent for others. That's perfectly eternal life. When you say you go to church and you do good things, that's fine. But when you live your life to yourself, you haven't eternal life. Eternal life is living for others. It proved it when it come in the Lamb of God. He lived and had eternal life because he did not live for himself. He lived for others. And you receive eternal life by receiving that day, and you don't live for yourself no more. You live for others. Someone said, how can you stand? Let everyone call you such bad names. You don't live for yourself. You live for others that you might redeem that man. Think about that. See, it isn't about us. Amen? It isn't about us. You live for others that you might redeem that man. As you musicians would come. You become sons. And the trouble is the church has forgotten they were sons. You are a son. You're taking Christ's place. You're a son. So you don't live for yourself. You live for others. Well, Brother Branham, I can live for this brother because he's a nice man. That's not it. Live for the man who hates you. Live for that person who would kill you if he could. That's what they did to him. They killed him and he died that he might save them. That's eternal life. And when that's in your bosom, you're facing heaven then. See? But you sacrifice your own things, give them up like the sheep gives its wool. You look on towards Calvary. So there's the quote. Amen. I trust that was a blessing to you. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. The Lord is good. Anybody have a song? That's a wonderful. Yes, we'll walk in the light. That's a good one.
will walk in the light, such a beautiful light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world.
It's 142. Amen.
All ye saints of light, proclaim Jesus, the light of the world. Life and mercy in your name, Jesus, the light of the world.
Amen.
We'll walk in the light, such a beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night.
Sing the last verse. Amen.
Come, confess Him as your King. Jesus, the light of the world. Then the bells of heaven will ring. will walk in the light, such a beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day.
Close tonight? Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Lord, we thank you so much for your word to us tonight. Thank you for the way that you lead us and you guide us, Lord. Just please help our hearts and our minds to be sensitive, Lord, to your spirit. Teach us, Lord. Correct us as we go. We thank you so much that you're so good to us. And Lord, that even when we don't realize it, even when we don't see it, we don't feel it, you're there and you're steering us and you're guiding us because you love us. And Lord, we just, with all of our hearts, we want to walk with you. We don't want to be pulled aside by the things of this world and this life. We want to be in communion with you. So teach us, Lord, and grant us grace, Lord, that we might go with you. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
We'll walk in the light, such a beautiful light. Come where shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world.
You're dismissed, amen.
We'll walk in.